بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: فأما الزبد فيذهب جفاء، وأما ما ينفع الناس فيمكث في الأرض، كذلك يضرب الله الأمثال. وقال تعالى: إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كما تكونون كذلك يؤمر عليكم. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Let us all recite Durood Sharif. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، Ulama-i-Kiram, respected elders and dear brothers, we are all aware of the political shift in our country in the last 48 hours, we could say, where we had a president resign literally at the 11th hour, and within hours again a new president was sworn in, and now there should be a new dispensation, and there's a lot of commentary being passed on the state of affairs, a lot of reflection on the past, a lot of predictions about the future. And this is not my objective of the bayan today. We leave that to the political pundits and the political gurus, the political analysts, to analyze and to split hairs and talk about the merits and demerits of the past dispensation and what will happen in future and what is predicted and what is projected and so on. That will carry on. But my message for today is that in all of this, what is the role of the Muslim? What is the purpose and aim of a Muslim of being in this country or any other country of the world? That is the important thing. We should not be caught up so much in the ebb and flow of political discourse and commentary and becoming armchair critics and commentators that we forget our own purpose and objective of being here in this country. Because our objective is much higher than any government, than any president, than any cabinet. We have a sublime role. We have a divine obligation to fulfill in this country. And that is most important for us than indulging in frivolous discussions, because the very people who are euphorious about the past president when he was elected became the worst critics of him. And Allah knows today those who are euphorious, what's going to be their comments tomorrow. So these are passing shows. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these things in the Holy Quran, these realities. فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ. Allah is giving examples. ضَرْبُ الْمَثَلِ. These examples Allah uses in the Holy Quran. There are innumerable examples. Ulama have written whole books on the subject matter of the ضَرْبُ الْأَمْثَالِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Examples that have been given in the Holy Quran. Allah uses many examples because examples make things easy to understand. So many realities are espoused in the Holy Quran in the form of various examples. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ. And this is how Allah strikes these examples and presents these examples so that it can become a means of thought and reflection for us. And what is the example that is being given here? The Quran says that that which is chaff, that which is redundant, that which is useless, فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً. It just goes away, it flows away. It is swept away and it disappears. وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That which is beneficial, that remains and that prevails. And that is what will have longevity and it will last for a long period of time because it is a source of benefit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this example in the Holy Quran for us to ponder and reflect on our position and our role function in society. When a cow stops giving milk, then what is the next destination of that cow? The next destination of that cow is the abattoir or the slaughterhouse because it has stopped fulfilling its function and purpose of existence. So it then becomes a useless consumer of resources. So it is destined and it is relegated to the place where it belongs, and that is the slaughterhouse, and it is taken to the abattoirs and it is slaughtered at the abattoir. Because now its function and its purpose of its objective of creation has been lost. Or its objective has not, has been lost to society. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that if you wish to remain and you wish to prevail, then become a source of benefit. You must be beneficial to mankind. You must be beneficial to the ummah. You must be beneficial to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will remain and you will prevail. Otherwise, all will go with the flow and all will get washed away in the floods. And we know what happens. It disappears into the ocean, never to be seen again. That's the end of it. So nevertheless, my dear friends, the current situation, the political scenario, has prompted me to touch on this particular subject matter. And I will use as my reference for the talk today a very profound and thought-provoking speech and lecture that was delivered by one of the great luminaries of our time, who was regarded as the thinker and philosopher of the Muslim Ummah in the recent times, none other than the outstanding personality of the Ummah, Sheikh Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, Alimia, as he was affably and popularly known as, Maulana Alimia, or Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, Rahmatullah Ali. He was a great thinker and philosopher of our recent times. And he always delivered some very, very inspiring and thought-provoking speeches. Hazrat was not a person of flowery speeches. He was not a conventional orator that stirred up emotions and so on. But his was a very deep and profound message that he delivered. And I would like to share aspects of some of the messages that he had delivered. There were two particular speeches and talks that he had delivered. One was in 1964 in a country that is very much in the news these days, the country of Burma, and its capital, which used to be referred to at that time as Rangoon. Hazrat had undertaken a visit to Rangoon, and this was approximately 6 months before the communist revolution swept over that country. And whatever the outcome and result of that is history now, and it is recorded in the annals of history, and it makes very interesting reading. And in fact, it is something that every community should read and reflect upon, because we learn lessons from the nations of the past. We learn lessons from history. History is not just about stats and statistics and historical facts and data, but it is the analytical aspect of history that is most important, that we analyze events and we draw inspiration and we take lessons and we take admonition from the events of history. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many historic incidents and facts in the Holy Quran as for the purposes of reflection and inspiration and admonition. So, Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali delivered these speeches. The first speech he delivered was in Rangoon, and he then delivered another speech in 1981, and this speech was in Dewsbury in UK. Both of these speeches of Hazrat are extremely thought-provoking and very, very deep, and they convey a very profound message to the Ummah, especially those communities who are regarded as minority Muslim communities living in countries outside or outside of Muslim countries. So Muslims were a minority in Burma at that time. Muslims are a minority in the UK. And our example is very similar. We are also a minority community living in this beautiful country of South Africa. And so the parallels are very great. Comparisons are very similar to their situation, to our situation. So therefore, what befell them should become a great eye-opener for our communities. Nevertheless, the speeches are quite lengthy, and I do not have the intention or the time to go into the details of both those speeches. Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our organization Darul Ihsan had both these speeches transcribed and then summarized in a very short form. We took the most salient aspects and points of both the speeches. The first speech, which is called Securing Our Future, and this is the speech that was delivered by Hazrat at Burma. These are fanfolds that are available for free distribution from our offices, and people are free to take these, avail of these, and read and reflect and pass on the message. And the second speech is titled Earn Your Place in Your Country, and this is the speech that was delivered at Dewsbury in the UK in 1981. So I'm just going to sort of touch on some of the salient aspects that have been mentioned in these speeches of Hazrat. When he went to Burma, Hazrat was invited there to give the speech, like many other ulama were invited before him. And perhaps he was the last alim before the revolution to be invited, because thereafter the revolution took place. And when that revolution took place, the condition deteriorated to such an extent that people who had amassed stacks of money which they kept in their safes, and they were very, very proud of their accumulated wealth, those were the very people who had to take those stacks of money and to save their lives and to be saved from getting hanged and going to the gallows, they had to overnight burn those stacks of money and try to destroy as much of it. What they made with their hands, they burnt with their hands. This was the situation that happened there in Burma, and people had to flee for their lives. There are still people alive today, and I have, alhamdulillah, opportunity to have met some of them, and they tell you the very, very, very distressing stories of what they encountered, how they fled, and they had to run for their lives, and the clothes they had on was all they possessed. Many of them had to survive on insects and frogs and animals on their journey to safety and sanctuary. And all what they had earned for decades, that them and their forefathers and all had earned, everything was completely wiped out and destroyed. And those who were givers of zakat and who supported many masjids and madrasas and institutions like our community is doing, may Allah accept and increase. Those were the people who overnight became the recipients of zakat, and they became the mustahiqeen and those who deserved to take zakat. So when Hazrat went to this this community, he gave his speech in the famous Surti Sunni Masjid of Burma, which is still existing today. And he warned the people. He gave them a very stern warning of the dangers that he could see on the horizon. And he mentioned to them that it was not any kind of supernatural ability to predict the future that was going to happen. It was not based on some kind of mukashafa or kashf or some kind of spiritual vision that he had seen. He said, no, the signs were so blatant and evident. He said, it's very much like a woman who is pregnant. You can predict automatically she's going to give birth to a child. And when there are dark clouds hanging in the sky, you can almost predict that it's going to rain. So he says, like that, I see the signs, the writing on the wall for you, your community, that if you do not take drastic action and you don't go about a complete transformation of your very objective and purpose of being in this country, and you do not rise up to your rights and responsibilities and duties as a Muslim community, then I fear that there will be a very bleak future for you. And as Hazrat had predicted, almost to the letter and the word, those conditions befell the Muslim community there. So nevertheless, there are important lessons, there are important messages that he had given in that speech of his. And that is what I would like to share as briefly as possible, inshallah. Hazrat mentioned, the first thing he mentioned about was the fact that the greatest asset that was given to the Muslim community and that is given to any Muslim community is time. And he said, this time that is given to you, take this time, use this time wisely, and give from this time, sacrifice from this time daily for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take out time for your deen, and take out time for the efforts of deen, and take out time for the benefit of the ummah, and take out time for the benefit of humanity. If everyone is going to just live for themselves, and we're going to lead a selfish existence in this world, that as long as I am fine, I am okay, I am catered for, I am taken care of, my children are well, my family is okay, I don't care about the rest of the community. I don't care about my neighbors. I don't care about the community. I don't care about the country. I don't care about the ummah. Then that is a very, very deep spiritual malady and sickness that has to be rectified and corrected. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually struck off those people, like how you use the word blacklisted. Almost in a sense, blacklisted those people and struck them off from the role of the ummah. Those who do not care about the welfare of the ummah. بَلْ لَمْ يَهْتَمَّ بِأُمُورِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Those who have no care or concern for the affairs of the ummah, they are not part of us. They are out of us. They're not part of us. They don't belong to us. So see from this, my dear friends, how much of importance is attached to that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself gave so many beautiful examples that how we should have concern for the affairs of the ummah. And every human being has a role to play. Every ummati and Muslim has a role to play. Nobody can escape that responsibility and say, well, others are doing it, I don't have to do anything, I can sit back and relax at home. Everyone has a role to play. When a fire lights up in a block of flats or in a block of apartments, and the people who are living on other floors, they sit comfortably in their lounges and they're relaxing on their couches, and they say, well, listen, that fire is on floor 21 and I'm on floor number 45 or I am on the 10th floor. It doesn't affect me. It's got nothing to do with me. The people there can sort their problems out. The people on that floor, number 21, where the fire is raging, in that one particular apartment, the neighbors say, well, it's not our fire, it's not our problem. The people in whose apartment it is, they must sort the problem out. What will be the net outcome of that? Within minutes, the whole building will be burned to cinders and burned to ashes to the ground. and everybody will lose everything. If they don't rise up to the occasion and they don't rush to put that fire out, everybody will have to sacrifice their comfort and luxury for that moment in time, and they will have to rush to try and put it out and do their level best, otherwise all will suffer the consequences. Another example that comes to mind, Mufti Zainul Abidin Rahmatullah Ali gave this beautiful example. People were traveling on the days of Hajj, and the bus in which they were traveling to Arafat got stuck in some sand, desert sand. They took a road and it was not coming out. So all the Hajis were sitting in their seats with arms folded, and poor driver was doing his best to try and take the, but the more he's trying to take it out from that rut, it was not coming out, it was going deeper, and time was running, and there was a possibility they could have missed the most important rukun or the most important fundamental of Hajj, that is the stay at Arafat. And they were still sitting in the bus until Mufti Saab got up and he made a speech and he said, listen, all the men folk in this bus, if you're going to sit here as passengers on this bus with your arms folded, this bus will not move till the day of Qiyamah. We will miss our Arafat. All of you get off the bus. At least it will lessen the weight of the bus. And all of us give, like they say, you know, put your shoulder to the cart or put your shoulder to the wheel, give it one hard push, and as per his instruction and advice, they got off and they gave it one hard push, the bus came out, and they were on the way again. So the ummah, the bus of the ummah is stuck, and if we are all going to sit as passengers with our arms folded and expect somebody else is going to make this bus move forward, it is not going to happen, my dear friends. Time is running out. Unfortunately, there was many, many important points to make here. But in conclusion, I want to mention this particular thing, and that is that we all have a role to play. We all have to spare time. We all have to fit ourselves into some kind of program or some kind of need of the ummah, some kind of activity of the ummah that is beneficial for the requirements and the needs of the ummah and humanity at large. There are many facets and fields in which we could be working. There are the spiritual aspects, there's the aspects of dawah, there is the humanitarian and welfare related aspects, there's education, there's the political field, there's the social field, there are PR and media related fields. So many aspects in which we have some role to play. Allah has given different people different abilities. Different people have different aptitudes. Different people have different capacities. But we have to use these Allah-given, God-given gifts, as they say, Allah-given blessings that we have. We have to utilize these for the betterment of the ummah, for the progression of the ummah. If we are all going to sit back on our laurels and take life easy, and we're going to be content and complacent, and we're going to be happy with our little cycle of life, and we just worried about our the mundane aspects of life, and life is only about entertainment and having fun and having our outings and going for our vacations and having our social functions and going to weddings and walimas, and those little things are going to occupy our energies all the time, and we are not going to rise up for the greater needs of the ummah, then I'm afraid, my dear friends, those predictions that were made and those conditions that befell those communities, that must not befall us. Allah save us and protect us. So we all have to rise up to the occasion. Make mashwara with your ulama. Make mashwara with the organizations around you. And volunteer yourself and see how you can fit in and what role you can play. All make intention to do that, inshallah. Let's put our hands up and make Allah witness that, inshallah. Don't be afraid. Put your hands up and make your niyat and intention that we are going to do something, inshallah, from this day onwards. May Allah put barakat in our intention. Allah accept our intentions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and inspire us so that we can be a benefit to ourselves, to the ummah, and this will benefit us most of all in the akhirah.